Start Yudai, the Torah Way, Northwest London. Tuesday, 2nd November, 27th of Cheshvan, Rabbi Amram Nemeth, 3 days and three categories.
The title is 3 days and three categories, which is fairly obscure, but that's the point, as you'll see. Just before we start, I'll share 1 minute Dvar Torah on the parasha. Everyone is busy, always been told us, with the brachas and the bechayra and Yitzchak and Esau, but in between there's of course the story of the be'eros, of the wells, of Yitzchak uncovering and undigging all the wells that his father had dug. If you look at the Medrash, then the Medrash debates whether there were four wells or five wells. And the significance is that if there were five, then the five wells correspond to the Chamesha Chumshei Torah. And the Medrash explains how in the Pesukim he would see that, and how the words would connote it or refer to Bereishis, Shmois, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. The Shem Mishmol explains that, you know, the wells were just, in a way, a mashal to what was really going on in Yitzchak's life. Because Yitzchak had the challenge, as we know, of keeping the Messiah of his father, of keeping the tradition. He wasn't a trailblazer necessarily, or certainly not in the way that Avraham Avinu was. You know, it's a nefesh asha asu b'charon, by bringing everyone to making them Jewish and teaching them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they were all serving Avodah Zarah. But Yitzchak, on the other hand, had to carry on. And it's very hard to do that, says the Shem Mishmol. It could become mitzvahs, you can become accustomed to doing things. Like Hagar saw the Malachim in Avram's house, he brings a proof, and then later on, when she saw them when she was in the Midbar, it didn't faze her at all. Even though the Malachim was something very ruchniistic, it didn't affect her at all because she'd seen it so much. And therefore, it was hard for her to feel the same as Slavas and excitement towards it. And that's in a way the challenge that Yitzchak had. Therefore, he had to make sure when he was learning the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, learning the word of Hashem, he was constantly uncovering new pratim and new ideas, like water, which is never the same. Water is always new. Water always comes forth and it's fresh. And I think that's the way that we keep the Torah ourselves fresh. Because, of course, we're not making everything new, Chas V'Shalom. We're keeping everything either the Chazal have told us, as we'll see later on in the Shir, or the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, or the Nach. So if you've heard the story already before, and you've heard the halachas already before, then how are you going to make it new? The only way is by learning it again, looking at different perushim, and looking at different ideas on the same psukim, on the same halachas, and that keeps you inspired, it keeps you connected to the Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the wells, that's the deeper message of the wells according to the Shem Mishmol. We say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Noisin HaTorah. Blessed are you Hashem who gives us the Torah now, and that's the message from the wells. It's all coming forth now, it's all fresh. Now I say that, I suppose, because I guess this topic has just been discussed so many times over here since the beginning of the Torah Way. It must be about 15 years ago or something like that. How many years ago?
About that.
I think just after I went to Yeshiva, I remember Judy started. You know, to talk about Chol of Akum and Gerinas Akum, I'm just guessing it's been discussed. And I hope today we can uncover something new or something you didn't necessarily realize before in the topic. And that gives me an excuse to stand there in front of you for 20 minutes and teach it. But I'll start off by explaining and contextualizing the title. And this hopefully is already something slightly new. The Gemara says in Beitza on Daf Hei, Adavah Sheba Minyan, Tzarech Minyan Achel Lahatirai. Something which is made with a group of Chashuvah Tamidei Chachamim need another minion of as chashuv tamidei chachamim to be mevatlet and to nullify it and to say that the decree of the Rabbanon doesn't apply anymore. And that's called, generally speaking, a davar sheba minion, which means when they group together. And they group together and make a gezeira or a din to Rabbanon, then it's not easily nullified. And interestingly, the Gemara says this is famously, as we know, but we'll see how far this goes, even if the reason doesn't apply anymore. That's Dover Sheva Minyan, and that's the power of Dover Sheva Minyan. It's not necessarily based on the Svara, even though initially maybe it was. Dover Sheva Minyan means that the Chazal made the Takana, and they made the Gezerah. And if it's classified as Dover Sheva Minyan, what that usually means in terms of the Rishonim and the Poskim and the Chazal is that you can no longer nullify it. Even if you feel in your day and age, it doesn't apply anymore. And we're all familiar with this, because there are many Dinei Darabanan that we do, even though they don't necessarily, the reason for doing them doesn't always make the most sense. You wouldn't necessarily make this Gezerah nowadays, but we believe that the words of Chazal were there forever. And if they gave the Gezerah Davar Sheminyan, then we have to keep it whatever happens. And the Gemara says this is not just in the words of Chazal, it's in the Torah too. Because the Gemara says that Hashem told Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael to separate from their wives for 3 days before Matan Torah. Now after Matan Torah, there's no more reason to separate for your wives to be in Kedusha V'Tara because the Torah is given already. Yeah, the Pasuk says, Leich Amalhem Shvu Lachem La'alechem. Go and return to your tents. So Hashem gave a decree to return, even though honestly they could return. They received the first, the luchos anyway, so why would you need a decree to tell me to go back to my tent to live with my wife, if already Matan Torah is gone, I could work that out myself. Says the Gemara, no, because if it's been made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if it's been made as a decree, then it's impossible to get, to get rid of it, but not to adhere to it and to listen to it, unless you have a clear command from Hashem that tells you, you know, just stop originally what you were doing by separating from your wives. And that's what you see in the Torah. Just a second, let me just finish just the introduction, and then we'll come to questions. And then what's the Gemara is also in the words of Chazal by Kerem Ravoy as well. The produce of the fourth year is forbidden, and you have to take it to Yerushalayim. But says the Gemara, if you live within a certain radius and distance from Yerushalayim, then you shouldn't redeem it on the way. Normally, Maaseh Sheni and Kerem Ravoy, if you're living far away, then your fruit is getting moldy in the heat of the Mediterranean sun if you're traveling, let's say, 50 to 70 miles. So you stop off in Haifa on the way, and you sell it, and you take money, and with that money, you go and buy food in Yerushalayim. And that's all over Shas. That's what you do in Maaseh Sheni. And with Kerem Ravoy, with the food of the fourth year, you could do the same. Unless you're living very close to Yerushalayim. And if so, say Chazal, we don't want you to start redeeming your fruit or anything that grew in the fourth year in order to receive money, in order to consequently buy something in Yerushalayim. Well, the Gemara gives a reason. So the Shukkah Yerushalayim should be adorned with fruit. So there should be plenty of fruit in Yerushalayim. And people shouldn't be constantly buying because they have money from the fruit and vegetables that they've redeemed earlier somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that some people didn't keep to it. And the Gemara carries on by saying no. Because Amrul Tamid of Rebbe Kvan Nimno Lav Chavercha Vehiti Ruhu. They already permitted this. They already permitted Kerem Ravoy, and therefore you're allowed to, if you want, sell your produce close to Yerushalayim. So says the Gemara, we see from here, mainly from the story of Har Sinai, and from the story of Kerem Ravoy as well. I'm going to quickly move on, just because we haven't got so much time left, that if a Gezerah is made, a Davar Shebaminyan, then you cannot nullify it. And that's a Davar Shebaminyan. And mainly you see it, the clearest example you see is from the Torah. Hashem said, separate from your wives for 3 days. That was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it wasn't Chazal. But then after, Hashem had to give you a new command to return, even though the reason has gone away. And if you think about it, there's a Tosfos in Pesachim at the beginning of Makom Shenagu that says, on Erev Pesach, we have to stop working already from Chatzos. So what about all the other Yom Tovim? Obviously, there are certain halachas, but nowhere near as many as Erev Pesach, where I think in Makom Shenagu, as far as I remember, we say the halachas are akin to Chol HaMoed. With shaving and other, you know, and washing, it's a much stricter view we have on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. What about the other Yom Tovim? Says no, because now everyone's shechting the Korban Pesach. And the afternoon before Pesach, everyone's busy with shechting the Korban Pesach. And therefore, we're not going to allow you to do any other malacha, so you should focus on that. Says Tosfos, what about nowadays? There's no Korban Pesach. Davar Shebaminyan. All right, we can't get rid of it. I don't want to say get rid of it because it's got Kedusha to it. It's the words of Chazal. But we still have to listen to it, even though the reason doesn't apply at all because no one's shechting the Korban Pesach now. And if no one's shechting the Korban Pesach, presumably, logically, you would say, well, we could work after Chatzos. It's not to do with Chametz. It's not to do with Seder night. Of course, it helps to be ready, but the main reason was because of the Korban Pesach. Says Tosfos, no, but we have to listen to it. Because if it was Asa once, then it's Asa forever. And this is everywhere in Chazal, the concept of Davar Shebaminyan. I was learning with my father, Daf Beis and Megillah, and the Gemara says we should lay in the Megillah 11th, 12th, and 13th. And the says in the Megillah 14th and 15th, says the Gemara, the Anshe Knesset Zagdolah put that together. And that's a Dabar Shebaminyan that was made. You can't just annul it and say you can lay them together 11th, 12th, and 13th. And the Gemara answers that. This Dabar Shebaminyan concept we see everywhere. But what I always found confusing, until I saw this pre-Chodesh, which is why I'm sharing this with you, is because you find places where we say, oh, don't worry, it was a Drabon and it's not relevant anymore. And what about Dabar Shebaminyan? I'll give some examples. Silk. It's a Mishnah and Kilayim, Peret, Tes, and Base. We used to get confused with wool. And they said, well, if you've got silk together with flax, I think, then, you know, it's Marasayim. So don't mix them together. Because what's Marasayim? People will presume it's wool, and you're doing Kilayim, you're mixing it together with a forbidden material. So I don't want you to ever to mix silk with flax. So that's Marasayim, and that's forbidden. If you look at the Mechaba, and the Chabad says it's permitted nowadays because everyone knows what silk is and therefore it's irrelevant. So there you see a Gezer of Chazal of Marasayim, which is generally speaking there's a Visa and the Kiyim, but it's a Gezer of Chazal. And we say, well, nowadays it doesn't apply. And what you see is it doesn't. Not every Gezer was made with the extremity of a Dabar Shebaminyan. Often, when Chazal gave a Gezer that should be applied, whether the reason applies or not, they actually said it. But there are many cases and examples where gezeres of Chazal that are not a Dabar Shebaminyan. And if circumstances are different, if circumstances change, then actually the halacha becomes permitted. And a clear example is silk. Another example, off the top of my head, I haven't looked this up before, is many people are mekel on mayim achronim. And originally it was a gezeres of Chazal because of Melech Sodomis, because, you know, it was dangerous after the meal. Now we're makbid a bit, but nowhere near as much as mayim achronim, and the Gemara puts them together, mayim achronim and mayim achronim. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't checked this recently, but we're easy going with it, because nowadays it doesn't apply so much. So why is that different to the Korban Pesach? Because it wasn't not every gezeira they made with a strict Dabar Shebaminyan rule, that it applies even if the reason doesn't apply. Another example I could think of is if you think of snakes. In the olden days, they were very makbid to always cover the water and the liquids, because the Nechashim could put aras inside. And that's the Gemara's all of Avodah Zarah. And that's one of the reasons we'll see today for cheese to be forbidden. If you look at the Mechaba, the first Mechaba I think is Kuftes Zion, he says it's permitted nowadays because we don't have snakes around us anymore. But that's a Gezer of Chazal that becomes permitted nowadays. So my first thing I want to say is we have to understand, is it a question?
Yeah.
Just give me half a second. That we have to understand to treat Gezeres of Chazal differently. Not every Gezerah of Chazal is always going to be forbidden forever, notwithstanding whether you have the reason or not. And that's the Pre-Chadash in Kuf Tes Vav and Kuf Tes Zayin. The Pre-Chadash countless times says, this is a big topic, so obviously there are so many little slants and different shades of what I think his is the clearest, and he defines it in the clearest way. There are some Gezerahs of Chazal that are called Dabar Shebaminyan, that are also whatever. Look at the Korban Pesach there. Look at and many other gezeras as well. But there are some, the Chazal didn't say, I want you to keep this, whether the reason is there or not. Chazal said, be careful for this. And if the reason applies, then keep it. But if the reason doesn't apply, then you don't necessarily have to keep it. And it could be annulled, similar to silk, with Marasayim. Well, nowadays, according to, I think it's the Mechaba, it's Muta. Even though it was a gezer of Chazal. A Dabar Shebaminyan, we know there's Gemara Beta for... No, but they didn't always make it like that. And that's an introduction before we come on to the cheese and the milk.
So I just wanted to ask if every Gezerah Chazal is called a Dabar Shebaminyan. In other words, is a Dabar Shebaminyan only something where there was a large conference of rabbis and they had a vote?
So I asked that question to the gates of Rav on Shabbos.
Yeah.
He said historically he's got to check it out. So I haven't got back to him because you can't email him anymore because it goes to the Federation. When he lived in Gateshead, you email him within 2 minutes, you got a response. Now you have to see him on Shul because he's much more hidden away. So I'm waiting until next Shabbos to see. Now the question over here, which has always bothered me too, is that it seems to be that Dabar Shebaminyan is when the group of Talmidei Chachamim came together and they forbade something. And we're saying that's forbidden whether you have the reason or not. But if the Gezerah was made, like the silk Gezerah, where it's permitted if the reason doesn't apply, was that also called Dabar Shebaminyan? Or what exactly happened and how did the Chazal get together? And that, I have looked everywhere for that and I do not know the answer. I'd love for someone to know, and I'm waiting. He said he wasn't sure at the time. You have to check up as to what happened when the Chazal came together to make a decree where which wouldn't apply in the future if the reason will not apply anymore.
So, for instance, the Geshem was one person.
Right, right. Yeah. That's much
so
later.
The question is, I know, but would you call that a Dovah Shev Minyan?
Yeah,
the
I don't think
so.
Yeah, right. But what you do see clearly is there are two types. What happened exactly in each one, I don't know at this point. There were definitely two types. And I think that's eye-opening. Because you've got so many hundreds of examples throughout the Gemara. And sometimes you see suddenly, Rabbi Yehuda, I think he sent presents on the 3 days before the Goyisha festival. He said, I know that they won't use this for the festival at all, for the Yom Tov at all. What do you mean they won't use it? The Gemara says it's Asa. He says he knew. So obviously that Gezeirah was different and made where the circumstances say you need to keep it. That's what the Pri Chadash says. And he says that in context of Chalav Akum, Gvinas Akum. And it's a phenomenal yusoid, I think, to take with you when you learn the words of Chazal. Not everything is Asa forever. But let's see that in the context of milk and with cheese.
How do you decide which is Asa forever, which is not Asa?
Yes, you have to know how the Poskim and Rishonim understood it. It's often not so clear, as you'll see here, and they bring Raya's, Ahim, and back and forth. It doesn't say, well, I don't think, as far as I can see, well, here's a list of yes, here's a list of no. You have to see as to how the Gemara understood it. You have to see how the Rishonim understood it and the Poskim understood it. And it's a bit of a tricky game, as far as I can see. And I think the Pri Chodesh we're going to see is the clearest in terms of the half an hour that we have. But it's not the easiest thing to find out. Yeah. So that's a fair point.
If we ever get to Sanhedrin, believe
me. Yes, then we can annul it.
Everything.
Yeah, you can. Some, the Rambam says, but many of them we can, yeah. It's hard, who's going to presume?
Yeah.
I know there's one base in London who've said that they think that I'm joking. I know it's very hard to do. So you're right, if we have someone and it's different. The Gemara says, Chalav shechol v'ovid chachovim. This is the famous halacha that we all know. If a goy milked the cow and he didn't see it, ve'ein yisra royehu, and the yid doesn't see it, then it's forbidden. And then you can't have the milk anymore. You have to go and you have to shomer it. Is this a davar sheva minyan? Is this asa whether the reason applies or not? Some people say yes, but many poskim say it isn't. And one of the proofs of the Pri Chodesh is if you see, if you're standing outside the milking farm and you've got a high fence, well not too high, high enough if you stand on the chair and look over, he'll see you to make sure you're not moving the bucket from the pigs to the cows and you're cleaning it before, and he knows the yid is waiting outside, then the milk is permitted even if you didn't actually see it at all. And we call that, in the words of Chazal, we call that mirtus, scared. So says the Pri Chodesh, you see, the Gemara was happy to have the goy scared to mix the non-kosher milk with the kosher milk, and that's enough to permit the milk, even if you didn't actually see it. Although the gezeirah of Chazal is you have to see it. But comes down the Gemara and says, well, actually, if you didn't see it, you know definitely he didn't mix it in, then it's kosher. Says the Pri Chodesh, you can't call that a davar sheva minyan. That's not asa, whether you have the reason or not, because here you could say, you could argue the reason's not here because you know, but that's not the gezeirah. The gezeirah is you should see it. If you've missed that raya, it doesn't matter. Because I'll just say much more simply, that Chalav Akum, we know, says the Pri Chodesh, well before Moshe Feinstein came along, this is a good few hundred years before, it's mutter, because in my town of Amsterdam, says the Pri Chodesh, it's irrelevant, they don't have non-kosher milk. And he says, don't tell me it's davar sheva minyan, because it's not. And he brings countless proofs from the Gemara, I've mentioned just one of them. Actually, when they made this gezeira, it was made that if you have a scenario where you have the non-kosher and kosher together, then don't presume anything. Then it's forbidden to buy the milk unless you check it. But if not, and you know, then it's okay. Different to Moshe Feinstein, he says, you know, it's as if we're actually there and watching them themselves. But he says, if you know there's no one there, and if you know that there's no non-kosher animals there, then it's mutter. And so it's not a davar sheva minyan. That's Chalav Akum. Now, how do you make cheese? You make cheese by putting rennet, which is taken from the calf of a cow. I think it's called the abomasum. It's the fourth stomach of the cow. And you take the lining, has some sort of enzyme that helps coagulate the milk to make it hard. And that's how you cheddar cheese. You pour a tiny bit of this into the mixture of milk, and you separate the curds from the whey, and you get blocks. And then that's how you get cheese. You take milk, normally only kosher milk, and you put this tiny bit of rennet in, and you put it in. Now, if the rennet's from a animal that hasn't been shechted properly, then the cheese is forbidden. It's asa. Even though it's only a tiny bit, it's called davar sheva mamid, that means it causes the cheese to stand, and therefore the fact that you have rennet is noticeable everywhere in the cheese. So in order to make cheese, you have to put the tiny bit of rennet in, and if it's from an animal that hasn't been, from the calf of an animal that hasn't been shechted properly, then the cheese is forbidden. But already in the times of Rishonim, there were many ways to make the cheese without putting the animal rennet in. And nowadays, because of vegetarians, it's much more relevant in many civilized places. People don't like the fact that the cheese has a bit of animal inside it, even though you can't taste it. And if already the
toast is using it, not the oil, mach a kelim, that's why they bought
it. I don't think so. I don't think because of that. All right. Yeah, because the Gemara says it. The Mishnah says it's aser. Maybe it is royal. Yeah, it's a fair point. But I don't think it's because of that. Let's just make sure.
Why did it end up meaty?
Because it's not enough. It's not enough. It's one in a hundred. But let's go to the questions in a minute. Let me just make sure I finish properly with a summary of all three. Then we'll come back to that, why it's not meaty as well. So cheese is made with the rennet. Already in the times of the Rishonim, they had the vegetable that would help harden the cheese. And the Chachma in Avrona bring the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, you didn't need the animal rennet. But that's, generally speaking, a davar sheva minyan, and that's forbidden completely whether you use the calf of the animal or not. And therefore, that's how cheese differs from milk. Because cheese, says the Pre-Chadosh, was made of the davar sheva minyan. Why they choose to make it as davar sheva minyan as opposed to chalav, according to the Pre-Chadosh, they didn't. Maybe because if you look at the Gemara, there are many reasons for why it's forbidden. Maybe because of Avodah Zarah. Maybe they felt that there was a reason to make it aser everywhere. Or maybe because they said the Pre-Chadosh was relevant to so many places at the time, in order not to differentiate, they said we're going to make it completely aser. Whereas with other gezeiras, maybe like Melech Sodomis, or maybe Chalav Akum, it wasn't as relevant. But these are suggestions that he has as to why Chazal chose to take these two very different courses of action. Because nowadays, you cannot go and buy hard cheese from any shop that doesn't have a Hechsher. But what do you mean? Chalav you can. And it's such an obvious question. Obviously, we don't. We machmei, the Ramosha says we should be machmei if you're Yerushmayim, and many of us don't. But if you're stuck, or many people who, I suppose, they go and buy milk from Tesco if it's cow's milk, and it's mutter halachically. We're machmei not to. But cheese, we don't, ever. Because cheese, what's the reason for that? And maybe it didn't interest me before I learned this, I always wanted to know that. And the Pre-Chadosh gives the answer. Because cheese was classified as a davar sheva minyan. Which means it's us, or whether the reason's there or not. You go to buy many cheeses, it will say clearly, vegetable rennet, no animal ever has seen this cheese, apart from the fact that it's from an animal. But no animal has been used to harden this cheese. So why isn't it mutter like Chalav Akum? Good question, says the Pre-Chadosh. The Pre-Chadosh asked this question many times. He says, the way I understand the Gemaras is that there was two different kinds of gzeirah made, similar to the two different kinds of gzeirahs we started with. Chalav was made where you see it's necessary, where they're together. Then you have to make it aser. Cheese wasn't made like that. Why it wasn't made like that, that's a different question. He gives a few suggestions. But cheese is made as davar sheva minyan, which is aser, whether you've used this calf from an animal, from a non-shechted animal or not. It's aser whatever way you've hardened the cheese. And that's the difference between cheese and between chalav, and between milk.
Why isn't there a problem with butter?
Right, so let's just come on to that. Right, let's finish off with that. So that's we've introduced davar sheva minyan. We said many gezeiros chazal have to be categorized into, generally speaking, these two groups. And then we have, that's how you differentiate between chalav and with cheese. But the problem is, like you're saying, is that there's a grey area. Now the grey area is more close to what we've discussed. My title was 3 days. That was where we know that something's aser from Har Sinai, even if the reason's gone. But three categories. One was milk, and one was cheese, and one was cottage cheese. Now, cottage cheese is in the middle. Many poskim say it's aser because it's so similar to cheese and it's also slightly hard, and therefore it's going to be cool. It's included in this davar sheva minyan and aser completely, unless it has a heksha.
Sorry.
It's not made with rennet at all. Therefore, many poskim say that actually it's permitted.
What's the tzad to aser?
Tzad to aser is maybe it's similar, or maybe it's a gezeira, or maybe any kind of cheese that's hardened a bit, I think. And to be honest, I only learned the tzad lahatik. And I gave this shir, and many people were saying that the Sfardi basin, London basin, they don't like to buy any cottage cheese or hard cheese. I mean, that's just, even for the people who are not marked with the chalav stamp. Obviously, we, or many people, I presume, only buy chalav milk with a heksha, so you're never going to buy cottage cheese without a heksha, unless maybe you're completely stuck. They say Ramosha used to buy for his wife when she was unwell, maybe because he was anyway mate. So just to get back to the point, just the question was, well, Kafa cheese doesn't have any rennet in it at all, and true. And therefore, there's very solid basis to be mekel if you already have chalav stam. Now, what you do or not, I suppose many rabbanim differ on this, whether we're going to be machmeh because it's too similar, or because it has some sort of acid inside it which hardens it. I think the Chachmas Adam is machmeh, the Aruch HaShulchan is machmeh. But there's a lot of reason to be mekel. And according to what we've said the past half an hour, it's very clear to understand. Milk wasn't a davar sheva minyan. That was an easier gezeira where it applies. Cheese was a very extreme one. Davar sheva minyan. It was like Karan Pesach, Erev Pesach, stop doing work. Whether you have any reasons, Chazal said, I don't know the reason, but we're mamin in the words of Chazal. It applies forever whether the reason comes or goes. But you've got an in-between area, which is cheese, which is not made with rennet. So many poskim say that's not going to be included in the gezeira of kvinas akum. That's also whether you have the reason or not, because it's completely different and not made with that at all. And therefore, it's permitted. Now, many pots can permit it. This is only, obviously, if you check the ingredients, to check on nothing treif, the pot that they use is not treif, and if you anyway eat chalav stam. Some people say because they can only use kosher milk for that. That's a hard one, a different shade to get through, as to why they would only use kosher milk for cottage cheese, and therefore, you wouldn't, even if you're not matched with the chalav stam, you could still have that as well. Many say with butter, but I don't think it applies anymore because of the ingredients. That's why people are hesitant to be mekel on butter, as far as I understand. So those are the 3 days, and the three categories are the two polar opposites are milk and cheese, and in the middle you have the softer cheese, which doesn't have presumably the gzeira of rennet, whereas many poskim are still machmeh not to have it at all. But we started off with, of course, Pashas told us that we uncovered hopefully a new well in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, in order to keep them aside. So Shkai, thank you very much.
Butter is a secret.